John.
And this is Wes.
And this is the Nintendo Show, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. This is episode 50 of the official show. So it's not going to be a traditional official show. It's going to be just a little bit of news and then whatever random games we feel like bringing
up. Which number is this?
50.
50?
50.
Holy cow.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I was, since we like number them by month, you know, it doesn't really mean a whole lot that it's 50.
It's the 50th month we've done this.
It sure is. So we're,
Fixed the microphone.
Yeah, I'm gonna adjust the gain a little bit to, because our levels are a little bit low. But yeah. Anyway, doesn't matter.
If you can't hear us, then what's the point of us doing this?
Right, so just turn the volume up. It'll be fine.
Yeah, there you go.
So, I wanted to start with this. You get any, like, anything cool gaming-wise stuff for Christmas?
I got nothing gaming-wise for Christmas.
Oh. Well, what did you get?
I got a... the only thing I guess could be considered gaming is I got an Amazon and a Visa gift card, both for $50.
Okay. You're going to
use it? So I can use those for games.
Do you plan on it?
I don't know.
Okay.
I have no idea what I'm going to buy with that.
I mean, that's $100. You're 200 away from a Wii U. Yeah, that was a weird sound.
That was weird.
Thanks for that.
How about you? Did you get anything nice?
I got a bunch of gaming-related stuff. I got a hard drive.
There you go.
For my Wii U. And so now I've re-downloaded everything that I had to delete because the internal memory wouldn't hold it all.
There you go.
And I also got Lufia in the Fortress of Doom, a Super Nintendo game that me and Ryan talked about last week on the previous show, I should say, probably about 4 days ago. Yep, it was pretty cool. I got a GameStop gift card as well, and with that I got Persona Q for the 3DS, which we're going to be talking about on this show. And I downloaded some games as well. I downloaded Zeo Drifter for the 3DS, and I also downloaded Stealth Inc. 2 and Costume Quest 2 on the Wii U. So, yeah, quite a bit of...
Wow, that's a...
Yeah, that'll probably hold me over until end of January, along with the other stuff I'm trying to work my way through. So, why don't we just jump into the news on that note?
Let's do this.
So, there are a few little interesting news bits that popped up this month. Game Freak, the makers of Pokemon, is getting ready, as they put it, to announce a new project, which is kind of like just them saying that they're working on a new project. So it is them announcing. They just haven't announced what it is yet.
Okay. That's. I would hope they're working on something, or else why did they have jobs?
Right. I mean...
So, I mean, hey, we're working on something. Well, no, duh. That's your job.
Sometimes it does feel like, though, that there are certain game developers who, when they finish a game, they just kind of sit around like, all right... I mean, in a few weeks, we'll think about what we're doing next. But that's probably not the case. They're probably, like... They probably have planned what they're doing next, you know, before they've even wrapped up a current game, is how I imagine that works.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. I don't... The way they phrased it, it doesn't feel like they're getting ready to announce another Pokemon game, even though Pokemon has become a sort of annualized series now. We've gotten Pokemon games, I think, every year since... Heart Gold, Soul Silver. Because then after Heart Gold, Soul Silver, I think Platinum came out after that, but I'm not 100% sure. And then we got...
it'd be kind of extreme of them to come out with a Platinum remake already.
I don't think they will. And that's actually something that I thought about as one of the reasons why I don't think that they're making another Pokemon game, because in Omega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire... You get the missing starters. Because in X and Y, you get, of course, your 6th-gen starter, and then they award you also a 1st-gen starter at the beginning of the game. And then once you're, I guess, spoilers for Ruby Sapphire, once you complete the main story mode, they give you a 2nd-gen starter. You get your pick. And then once you're done with some of the... like there's like a
which is going to be Cyndaquil.
Of course. That's what you do.
Yeah, why on earth would you get the other two?
Right. And then after that, you also get awarded a 4th-gen Pokemon after you complete this other little event.
Yeah, 4th-gen, which was Platinum.
Chimchar. Yeah, Chimchar, Piplup, and Turtwig.
Piplup would be right, because that way I can start working towards my Steel team. So yeah. I'll probably grab that guy.
Actually, wait. No, it wasn't...
wasn't 4th-gen?
It wasn't 4th-gen. It was 5th-gen, I believe. So yeah, they might be doing a 4th-gen remake, which... I wouldn't.
What was 5th-gen again?
5th-gen was Pignite, Snivy and Oshawott.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Which that was a was a really great generation. I'm looking forward to Nuzlocking that one once me and Ryan are done with our fourth gen Nuzlocke. So, in other Pokemon-related news, even though I don't think that they're getting ready to announce a Pokemon game, there is more information on Pokken Tournament coming soon, which is a 2015 game announced for only Japan at this point. Have you heard about Pokken Tournament?
No.
It's a crossover between Pokemon and Tekken.
What the hell?
It's a Tekken-style fighter starring Pokemon characters.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Oh my god. Sign me up.
I might have to get...
Pre-ordering.
Even while... Japan only right now.
Oh.
Which, well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Again, this is like the Fatal Frame situation where I don't think that Nintendo can afford to not localize it since they need to keep a robust library because, you know, they're the only ones making Wii U games, essentially.
Pretty much.
So, they kind of have to bring everything that they can over, but we still haven't heard anything about Fatal Frame yet, so I don't know. We'll see what happens with Pokken Tournament.
Oh my god, everybody just... Already, that just... I'm super pumped already.
Yeah. I think...
that just seems amazing.
The only two characters that I've seen so far are Machop and Lucario. But they have already come out and said,
that
like...
sounds so boring. Machop? Come on.
Not Machop, sorry. Machamp.
Okay, that seems a little...
Machamp and Lucario. And but they're both fighting types, but they have come out and said already that they're not only going to have fighting types in the game. So...
that'd be kind of, like, redundant.
Yeah, I imagine maybe most of them will be, like, human shapes.
Yeah, so it's going to have Blaziken. It should have Blaziken.
Like arms and legs. But, you know, you could also, like, Ursa Ring, if you want to go in that direction. Or Berartic. If, like, just something with arms and legs. You could do, like, Alakazam and have him actually be more of, like, a psychic type rather than, like, just, like, direct combat. I don't know. You could do... Some crazy stuff with the available Pokemon. You could throw in Charizard and just kind of
see
how that works out.
I still think a Pokemon MMORPG would be amazing.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen, but it would be amazing. Come on, make it happen, guys.
So, in also related game announcements, Platinum Games says that they're working on a new project.
What the fuck? I think it's so stupid when people do that.
Well, see, the thing is, this is a little less silly, even though it's a little silly. Is that they're already working on some other stuff that's already been announced. I think something for PS4, but I'm not 100% sure on what the game is because I didn't really pay attention to it. They did not confirm a platform or what the game actually was that they are working on, but they did hint that we could possibly see more Bayonetta in the future.
Well, look at that.
Which
apparently it must have done well.
Well, I guess that depends on how you look at it. The only sales data I've seen is on VG charts, which is notoriously unreliable. But if you take it as just like a ballpark figure, according to that, they've sold about 450,000 copies worldwide, which is respectable. And if it's in that like general area between 500,000 and 400,000, then that's pretty solid. That's nothing to sneeze at.
All right.
So, I guess moving on from weird non-game announcements. Crunchyroll is available on the Wii U to download now. Have you heard of Crunchyroll?
I've heard the name, but I couldn't tell you what it is.
It's a video streaming service exclusively for anime series. And
yes, I do know this. Yes, but I've never actually used it.
I downloaded it, and there's a 14-day free trial, which Des is using. I don't know how often she's using it, though, so I don't know if it'll be worth hanging on to. I mean, it's like... I think it's like $8 a month, the same price as Hulu. So, you know, if it's getting a decent amount of use, then it might be worth hanging on to. But I'm really not too familiar with too much anime, so I'm not sure what's on there.
You're not the anime watcher in the family.
No, not really.
That'd be Des.
Yep. And it's funny, though, because sometimes we'll come home and she'll be watching something and it'll be like...
like the worst possible time.
Well, I mean, she is... unconsciously drawn to shows with a lot of, shall we say, fan service. Where it's not like she's looking for that kind of stuff, but she'll like find the anime, oh, that looks cute. And then it's just like upskirt shots the whole time.
Like the whole time, or just bare breasts. Just ridiculous. Like,
exactly.
The whole time.
Exactly. And like, I'll come and like, oh, watching one of your naughty shows. It's like, I didn't mean to. So yeah, it does seem like they have a lot to choose from. I kind of browsed through it real quick. I didn't recognize anything. Like they had like a lot of Naruto and I think One Piece, which I think are really popular.
Well, those are the super popular. I mean, Hulu's got like all of that on there as well.
It's not the competition. Well, I guess it is a competition. They're both businesses.
Yeah,
I mean, it's what it is. So, yeah. So, you know, we'll see if that's worth hanging on to.
It'd be worth it if they have, like, the obscure anime that you don't really see that often.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, in a little bit of rumor and gossip, it's rumored that Sony and Nintendo are possibly teaming up for a Mario movie.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Most likely, if it is an actual thing, the rumor is it will most likely be animated, which I guess isn't quite it, but it's probably.
Please tell me Mario and Luigi from the live action are going to voice it.
I
want them involved somehow. I don't know.
John Leguizamo is alive. I think Bob Hoskins is dead, though.
Which was Mario?
Yeah. I mean, we'll try to get him anyway.
I think they definitely need to be involved one way or another.
Yep. So there was also a rumor going around that the Wii U GameCube controller adapter had been discontinued, but Nintendo has confirmed that it has not been discontinued and that there's more coming. So,
but what's been discontinued? I'm sorry.
The Wii U GameCube controller adapter.
Oh, okay.
So you can hook in the GameCube controllers, which is nice because
that'd be so dumb. Didn't they just announce that not that long ago?
Right, and so and that's the thing. Like to discontinue something that people really want, that's absurd.
It's really weird.
The same thing with Amiibos. There's a rumor today that the Star Fox and Samus Amiibo had been discontinued because like Target's I guess PoE system. Had marked them as discontinued. That's ridiculous. If people are still buying them, Nintendo will still make them.
I actually
addressed this when I was doing a previous show, when I was just kind of generally talking about Nintendo and some of the state of some of their business angles. And they have, like, there's like 49, 50 Smash Brothers characters, and they have to make figures for all of them because they said they were making figures for all of them. So they're probably trying to churn those out as quickly as possible. But do you really think, like, once they're through all those, they're going to, like, look at all the molds they made? It's like, well, we made all these. Let's just throw these out. Let's just fucking start over. Who cares? But no, that's absurd. Like, what are they going to do? Take this mold for Samus and just throw it in?
I did finally see the Link Amiibo.
Oh, yeah?
So I got the idea what you're talking about with that weird yellow stick in. Yeah, that was just really odd.
Yeah. I mean,
I was sitting there in GameStop and pointing it out to Jeff because I forget what we were there for. And
he was probably looking for a Samus Amiibo for me.
Probably. Yeah, that's right. That's what we were doing. I was like, it looks like that. Yeah, that's not right.
he asked me what I wanted for Christmas, and I couldn't really think of something that would be, like, in his general price range. So I was like, fuck, give me a Samus Amiibo. Why not? Turns out, like, it's, like, the hardest thing
yes. That
anyone on my list.
We went to
three
different stores looking for that thing.
Yeah, but apparently there is at least a couple of Targets. Just by like browsing the internet, they're showing up in more and more places again.
Yeah, it's gonna be okay.
Now that the craziness
calm
is
calm down, people.
Seriously, it's
calm
like
calm down.
It's like a craze. There are people who go into stores and buy out stores' entire stocks, and then will just scalp them, which is a dick thing to do.
It really is.
I mean, you have a right to do whatever you want with your money, but I also have a right to not press the brakes on my car if you're being an asshole. Not that I would do that for someone who's buying
it. It's not working. That's.
I've definitely not fallen into the Amiibo craze. I have one Amiibo. And I got it just like as an impulse buy. There's Yoshi sitting there in the GameStop shelf when I was picking up.
The other ones are probably collecting dust.
God, what was I picking up that day? It must have been Smash Brothers. It must have been the actual Smash Brothers game. And then Yoshi was sitting there, and I was looking at him, and he was looking back at me, and I had my Yoshi 3DS in my pocket. I was like, you know what? I'll take Yoshi too. Why not? So
somebody has to love him.
Yeah. Speaking of Amiibo, Nintendo did sort of announce, more of like they showed a Kirby and the Rainbow Curse trailer where they revealed what Amiibos will do in that game. And it's compatible with three Amiibos, Kirby, Meta Knight, and DDD. And basically, you can scan them in, I think, once a day, and they'll give you, like, a special power-up in a level. So, like, Kirby can get, like, a superpower in a level that you're playing and...
There you go.
Yeah, work his way through it like a boss.
Very cool to have a deity.
A DDD amiibo?
Come on! He's so derpy.
He is
so derpy.
He's the king. So, let's move on to some new releases. Let's just put in a music break here and then come back with some new stuff. I have 8 games to get to.
You have 8 games?
Yep, I have 8 games to talk about.
Holy jeez.
So, I'm going to have you talk about some games whether you like it or not, just so it's not just me droning on forever.
Oh, God, I got no games to talk about.
You got some Dark Souls 2 DLC. You just telling me about that.
Yeah, but you know, it's...
All right, hang on. Hold that thought. Because I'm going to talk about Captain Toad for a second here.
He's a captain.
Yep.
He's a toad.
He is captain of his own starship. Which does not appear in this game. So, I finished it, except for the bonus levels. I'm still working away at a couple of those. And one of the things that impresses me most about Captain Toad is that the levels do get fairly complex. In the beginning of the game, they're pretty short. They're easy to work your way through. But by the end of the game, especially the minecart levels, because I think there's like maybe 4 or 5 minecart levels, and by the end of the game, like the last minecart level actually lasts... a good amount of time, 2, maybe 3 minutes, which is,
sheesh.
Yeah, a pretty like the first minecart mission was like 30 seconds. You were in the minecart, and then by the time Toad's animation was done hopping in, you were hopping out. It was over. So, it's nice that the game, and just in terms of the longevity of the individual levels, kind of it definitely grows from the beginning of the game to the end. And the levels are all really well built. They expand really well on these ideas that they establish early on. Ideas like it uses like the gamepad touchscreen for certain things to slide blocks around, or like blow into the microphone, as you know.
I always hated that mechanic.
It's a little silly.
Yeah.
You like blow
somebody
into
the microphone. Walks by. What are you doing, John? I'm playing a game. I wish I wasn't a smoker.
That's going to sound terrible, which I guess was your intention.
Well, yeah, you know.
So,
I actually hurt my throat doing that.
Stop smoking. So, you know, you blow into the microphone to, like, make these fans that are basically platforms raise or, like, slide along little tracks. And there are a few different things like that they do. Like, there's little speed boost panels. You know, Toad is usually very slow, even when he's running. But if you hit a speed boost... you go faster, but you're a little bit harder to control. So they mix a couple of different things like that in there. And it does a really good job of peppering those things in, but then always expanding what you use them for rather than just using them for the same thing over and over again. So one of the other cool things about the levels is just how much they're able to pack into... The tiny little diorama puzzle box things that they have. There's a few levels where it's really impressive the way that they move things around or things unfold or slide out of place to reveal different parts of the level. And there's a really great sense of discovery throughout the level because you're always having to turn the camera to try to see behind things. And sometimes when you're doing that, you'll see like a little nook that you didn't see before that'll get you a little bonus, like diamond or gem, whatever you want to call them. There's three collectible gems in each level.
What do those gems give you?
Nothing. There's collectibles. All right. They're for the OCD people like me.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to 100% this game, no question.
Oh, God.
So, it's good. And there are a couple of bosses that you fight multiple times, like fight in quotes there. You don't really actually do any combat. There's a dragon boss I think you encounter three times that basically what you're just trying to do is avoid his fire breath attacks through different ways, usually by seeking cover behind something or rotating something to give you some cover. And basically just working your way up to the top and then something falls onto his head incidentally and you win. So and then there's also like a bird that you fight. I think that bird is just two times. So that one's really not that big a deal. You have to fight it twice. And there's actually this really cool, I guess, level. It's more like a load screen or like a sort of interactive screensaver where Captain Toad is riding on top of the dragon through like a pool of lava and you're just knocking all these bricks and coins out of your way. And the only thing you're controlling is like the dragon's fire. You can spit fireballs at like enemies, which you would just kill when you ran into anyway because he's a fucking dragon. But the whole time Captain Toad is like sitting on the top like cheering. He's like, yeah, we're killing all these things. It's pretty fucking cool. So there's The game is very much just about finding this really linear path from beginning to the end, but the linear path is really very windy throughout the level because there's a lot of things you have to do and to open up the paths. And really, the only time you're really straying off the path, like you have really limited options to where you can stray off the main way, the only way that you can finish these levels is when you're finding the little diamonds, or sometimes there's like golden mushrooms that you can find. They'll give you 50 coins, and of course 100 coins gives you an extra life. So, and even though it's really linear, like I talked about it before, there's that still really great sense of discovery throughout the game. And it makes really good use of Captain Toad's superpower, which is, of course, the power to harvest things really effectively. Toad, ever since Super Mario Bros. 2, has been very good at pulling things out of the ground faster than everyone else. And so much so that there are platforms that he can pull out of the ground while he's standing on them and propel them into the air. He is a superhero harvester. He's very good at it. So it's a really fun experience and always attempts to use the established mechanics in new ways. It's very good. I'm really liking Captain Toad. And then the other game, this one I actually downloaded Christmas Day when it came out, that I've been playing, is Duck Hunt.
Nice.
Yeah, they released it on the Virtual Console.
Do they at least give you like a visual update, or is it just still just look like a good old traditional?
No, it's the NES version of Duck Hunt. What they did do is because, of course, the light gun, of course, there's no port for the NES Zapper light gun.
Oh, but you can't cheat then.
Well, what they do, it uses the Wii remote, and there's a target reticule that you can use. Or you can turn it off if you choose. It's either way.
Hardcore.
Yep. So, it's Duck Hunt. I think I've played it once since I downloaded it. And I got to round 13, which I didn't think was too bad. And it's a game that I feel the same way about it that I did back when, you know, me and James, my brother, played it on the NES. It's okay. It's fine. There's nothing wrong
with
Duck Hunt. I don't understand how people could play for hours and hours like he did. He would always want to play Duck Hunt. We had it on like the NES cartridge that was both Duck Hunt and Super Mario Brothers. And you'd always want to play Duck Hunt. Like,
I don't understand how people could play Pong for hours, but they did that one back in the day because it was the most amazing thing in the world. Like, oh my god, look at that ball go.
The ball is moving and I can move the paddles too. It's amazing.
Holy shit.
It's a game that we're playing entirely through video.
I need to change my pants. I'm way too excited.
So, wow, way to derail that one.
There you go. I do a good job at that.
So it's one of those games where he would want to play it every time. I was like, why aren't we playing Mario Brothers? Like, why are we playing Duck Hunt over Mario Brothers? It's a way better game. And to your point about Pong, there was no other option. You played, well, okay, you played fucking you Pong
that.
Or Asteroids.
I will give you that. All right, I will give you that. I'm not saying I disagree with you.
Do I want to choke myself to death with a piano wire or the barbed wire? So, Duck Hunt, you know, nothing else has changed other than the target reticule. The ducks get faster and more erratic as you get through the levels. Also, as you get through these rounds, it allows you to miss or doesn't allow you to miss a certain amount of ducks. Like the allotment that you can let get away gets fewer and fewer as the ducks get harder and harder. So one thing that I think would be cool, just as a weird side note, is that it would be kind of cool if you could change the sound effect of the gun that you're using, because it's the same like NES sound effect of just like a little like crash of
like
a shotgun or something.
Like that stupid app that people have of like different gun sounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like have it be like a laser sound. So you can shoot these ducks with a laser gun if you so choose. I mean, it'd be funny and pointless, but still kind of cool to mess around with.
Yeah, it'd be kind of funny. You know, I'm going to use an AK-47 on these birds.
Also, I have no idea what the max round is in Duck Hunt. I have no idea what the highest level is, but it would be kind of cool if you beat the game, you get to take 3 shots at the dog.
He just lies there like, all right, your job is done. And just put him down.
Well, he fucking laughs at you if you miss. Like, if the duck gets away, he, like, comes out of the grass and, like, giggles at you like a little turd. It's like, hey, guess what? You're not eating anything tonight, asshole.
I'm like, guess what? You're not either, dipshit.
All right, so let's talk about Dark Souls 2.
Why are we talking about Dark Souls 2?
Because it's not going to be all me.
It's not going to be all you?
No.
I went back to Dark Souls 2. It's been a long time since I played it.
Yep. I'm going to try to stay engaged here.
You're going to try to?
Yep.
I wish you the best of luck with this, because you know how I am. I'm terrible at this.
No, it's fine. I mean, it's really not you. It's that I don't give a shit about this game. Please go on.
So they came out with 3 DLCs over the course of like the past year or whatever.
How much were they?
They were $10 a piece. I bought all 3 for $24.
That's like half the price of the game.
Yeah.
Does it justify it with content?
Yes, it's massive.
Okay, please go.
Each of the DLCs are full-blown little areas that they unlocked. New monsters, new weapons, new armor. I think there's like 3 new bosses a piece. And it is unforgiving. Like, Dark Souls in general is difficult, but going into this DLC, they really just want you to fucking die as much as you can. I mean, there's this one part you walk out on this ledge and this giant thing pops out of the ground and he's got this giant hammer and his shoulder pads alternate spitting out lava. And it's a pretty wide area, so I'm like, alright, I'll just dance around this guy and, you know, nip at him. And then another one popped out of the ground. I'm like, well, that's just not nice. And then I wandered a little bit further to the right and the third one popped out of the ground. And I said, well, fuck you, Dark Souls, as he pummels me and knocks me off the ledge into oblivion. So, yeah, screw that noise.
Could you have beaten them without grinding?
Yes. It'll take a very long time. Like, when I went back to that area, knowing what was happening, I just made one spawn, and I took him off to the side, and I willed him down and killed him. And then I inched my way over for another one to spawn, and I did the same strategy.
That sounds so tedious.
It is, but it was fun. It's tough.
What reward do you get for going through all that?
You get to say I killed those fuckers. That's the reward you get.
I mean, that...
See, that's the thing about Dark Souls. It's very unforgiving. So when you accomplish something, you feel good about yourself. You go, yeah, that's right. You may have killed me 12 times, but now you're fucking dead. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that sort of trial and error gameplay.
I mean, those giants do drop their weapon pretty rarely. I did get it. It's a giant, I think it's called like the smelter hammer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's literally a gigantic club with a little tiny handle.
Good.
So, I mean, I don't use it. I don't have the stats for it, but dear God.
So wait, you went through all the effort of beating
Not
them
to
up?
Get that, but okay. I'm just saying, you want a reward out of it. Boom, there you go. You can get one of this giant hammer. Satisfied?
That you can't use.
You can use, I can't.
That's very unsatisfying, actually.
Well, you know, if you have the right kind of build, it's a cool little thing to use.
So you don't have to grind to beat them, but to, like, use the
You don't
reward.
Have to grind to beat anybody in the game. I'm just saying, it would suck if you're not at a high enough level, because you're going to get one-shotted, or it's going to take a really long time to kill him.
Uh-huh.
I see, ever watched Dark Souls speedruns are like the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life, because people were just fly through these games in like an hour and take on like final bosses at like level 10. Like, it's fucking ridiculous.
But how do they do it in an hour if it takes so long to...
Because they have different strategies and crap. They'll go into certain areas and... Like, one guy I used to watch in Dark Souls 1, there is this Black Knight, and he has a chance to drop his Halberd, which is one of the most OP weapons in that game. And he'll start a speedrun, and if the Black Knight doesn't drop it, he'll restart the speedrun, because he won't be able to complete it. But he'll be able to at least two-hand the Halberd and accomplish what he needs to do in that speedrun with it. So, I don't know. Crazy people with these things.
All right.
Yeah, but it's really cool. The DLCs, like, I've only played through part of one right now, and that is the Crown of the Iron King. And I will say, the area looks beautiful. It's in this giant castle. It pretty much was like an iron refinery, I believe. But it's really beautiful backgrounds. Everything looks really sharp. It just feels massive. That's one of the great things about Dark Souls, is you'll see a castle out in the distance. Most likely, you're going to that castle, and there's something in there that wants to kill you. So, it's...
All right. I mean, yeah, that's pretty cool. I always like to...
Opposed to those games where you're playing, you'll see all this beautiful backgrounds and all this stuff going on. In Dark Souls, you'll see that, but you're also going to go there.
Hmm. Yeah, with that, then that's actually pretty cool, because I do like when games have a big scope like that, and then there's actually things to do in those areas. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is Shadow of the Colossus. It's a game that I really like. But, like, you can, like, say, I want to go over there and see what's there. And then, you know, you're riding, like, through this forest on your horse. And it's like, hey, this is a pretty cool forest. And there's nothing to do in there.
Yeah, that's the only downside I have with Shadow of the Colossus. Is the only side thing is what, those lizard tails and the fruit?
I don't even remember those.
Yeah, that's like the how lizard important tails, like, increases, like, your grip.
So you can hold on
more the more you collect.
Yeah.
The fruit gives you... God, I have no idea what the fruit did for you. But that was even rarer than lizard tails. I forget.
I mean, lizard tails, like, just like in real life, they just help you hold on to things better.
Well, you know, you boost your stamina. Because, you know, it's viper? That's not right.
All right. Anyway, let's take a quick break and then come back with more games.
There you go.
Through four games here. Rapid fire. Here we go. Ready?
Oh my god.
Alright, so I downloaded Zeo Drifter, like I said at the beginning of the show. This one is from Renegade Kid. They made Mutant Muds, and they did the Dementium games on the DS, and they did Moon on the DS. Anyway, they're pretty proficient, generally speaking. So I bought, downloaded, and finished it on the same day.
Wow.
Yeah, on Christmas Day, actually. It's a really Metroid-esque adventure game where, you know, you're moving non-linearly throughout these four planets. There's areas in four planets that you go to, and then you fly between them in your spaceship, like in Metroid Prime 3 Corruption.
There you go.
you find a boss here, you defeat the boss, and then you gain a new power, which allows you to explore different areas on different maps. So it's got really compact, smartly designed levels. There, like I said before, there's the four planets that you go between. There's not really a theme, so to speak, per each planet. They just kind of throw elements in there from each planet so that you're using power-ups kind of equally throughout each of the four, which is kind of nice. But yeah, it's real compact. I think I put just under 3 hours into the game before it was finished.
Yeah.
So the different powers you get to like a submarine, which allows you to go into water. You just kind of transform into it. You get a dash, which allows you to run over lava. There's a rocket that you get, which allows you to propel yourself up long shafts or like up big cliffs, that kind of thing. There is a kind of teleport that you get, which allows you to teleport yourself from like on one side of a wall to another, provided that the wall is thin enough. And then there's your shift. There's like a thing that you can like shift into the background, and there's certain places where you have to shift into the background in order to get around obstacles, things like that. And then the last power is a solar beam, which is just basically a powerful gun that allows you to break open certain obstacles that you encounter in each of the worlds. So you get them from these bosses, and all the bosses are really similar. And in fact, it's like the same like boss, like the same sprite, just like dinosaur thing, just different colors each time.
Okay.
And also each time it gains a new power. So it'll start out just like charging at you, and then it'll like charge at you, and then also like drop rocks onto you. And then it will drop rocks onto you, and then also like put a shield around itself that you have to break through. So each time it gets more complicated. And the game usually does a really good job of utilizing the new skills that you've gotten in the next boss. So it's kind of like Zelda in that way, to where you want to use your new tools to help you through the next fight. So I mentioned the solar gun, but it's not really a gun that you use a whole lot just in your regular combat. Instead, you have just like a regular pellet gun, and throughout the world there are little upgrades that you can find. And you don't like, and the gun doesn't upgrade one thing automatically. You kind of choose where you want to put it. There's like you can improve its rapid fire, you can improve its power, or you can improve the range, like how long the bullets will fly. And then like there's different things you can add on to, like you can make it like a spread shot to where it'll scatter a little bit every time you fire a new bullet. And then you can also like make it a wave, so when you're firing bullets it will they'll travel kind of in
like
squiggly lines.
Kind of thing?
Yeah.
And what's the benefit to that?
This gives you like expanded range, and I actually didn't use that at all. So there aren't enough power-ups in the game to max out everything. So what I just basically did was I maxed out the rapidness of the fire and the power of the shots. And I found that sufficient to get through the game. What you can also do if you want to experiment, though, is you can basically have three different setups for your guns and then swap between them at any time. So if you just want to go with like a standard rapid fire high powered gun, you can have that saved, and then if you want to like disperse things evenly, you can have that saved as a different gun. And then if you just want to like have like a wave gun with spread aspects to it as well and try to cover the most ground, there's that option as well. So there's a lot that you can do with that sort of thing. And then aside from like gun points that you find lying around, there's also health expansions, and some of them are really obtusely hidden. There's like an insanely ridiculous hidden walls. There's like no hints to where this would be a hidden wall. A couple of them I found on accident, and I didn't even get all the health upgrades because, you know, they were not anywhere explicable on the map. So I just moved on with my life.
Yeah.
I finished the game with like 90%, which I thought was pretty good. That's
more,
right?
Than I can say.
Yeah. So this one, it's a really cool, just kind of by the numbers, short little Metroid type game. $10 on the 3DS eShop. Not too bad.
I think it's worth it for the 10?
That's hard to say, because it depends on how much you like these kind of games. I don't regret spending any of it. I don't know. It's hard to judge whether something's worth a certain price tag, because some people might get out of it more than others. I got enough out of it to not be mad. So
to not be mad,
right?
That's a positive. That's a very
I also
great review. You should write for Nintendo. I got enough out of it not to be mad.
This game did not totally piss me off with how succinct it was. I actually knew what I was getting into when I downloaded it. I knew it was going to be a short game, and that's actually kind of the reason why I downloaded it, because I'm in the middle of so many really long games. Like, I'm in the middle of Pokemon, and I just picked up Persona Q, and I just finished kind of Fantasy Life. I don't know if I'll be going back to that one anytime soon, but I put 40 hours into it, so I was okay with just having like a short 3-hour game that I can play and then be done with and say, yes, I beat something and I didn't have to waste half my life on it.
Well, there you go.
So
that's the right attitude.
Yep. I've also been playing Bayonetta. I'm still trying to chip away at it. I'm on mission 10. I believe there's 16. I may switch over to easy because at this point I just kind of want to get through it. And there are a couple of bosses in particular that I die on fairly frequently because they're just a couple of assholes. They just like throw these guys at you who kind of move around like gorillas, and they have huge hands with claws on them, and they'll slash at you, and they're really agile. And it's tough to work out the timing of the dodges, and there are a lot of times where I'll go up against them and I'll die a couple of times before I'm finally able to work my way through them. So, and then I also hit this boss fight, and I have no idea what to do with this boss on mission 10. Yeah, and I can't figure out any hints or what they're trying to have me do. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to look this boss up, and I'm probably going to switch it to easy because I don't want to be stumped by this game. I just want to go around and murder some people in a really gratuitous fashion. And
completely ridiculously, giant feet coming out of nowhere. And
feet made of hair, exactly.
Feet made of hair to stomp on their face.
Right, exactly. That's what I want to do.
There you go.
So
God bless America.
But the combat is really fun when it's going well, when you're actually able to execute the things you want to do. There's another boss in particular where they'll throw these three characters at me, and they'll all try to attack me in different ways at different times. So it's really hard to have the combat be really fluid in those sections when you're just being harassed by three different this was a boss character at a certain point in the game, and now they're throwing these boss characters just like as regular minions.
Yep.
So it's frustrating that there are certain missions where I'm dying a few times to where I'm not getting a very good reward, so I'm not able to do that many upgrades to the character, which just makes it harder going in. It's not a ridiculously hard game, but there's like those one or two enemies that get the best of me that I just can't seem to figure out. So I'm probably going to finish it off soon and then move on with my life, probably to Bayonetta 2, which might be the...
I really want you to play Dark Souls now.
I don't want to.
I really do.
No.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to see the thing
you're with... You're complaining about Bayonetta, guys. Oh, my God.
See, the thing with Bayonetta and how it's different from how you're describing Dark Souls is with Bayonetta, there's like an end in sight. It's not just like this huge world. It's like, you go and do. Go fucking somewhere and find someone who's going to totally kick your ass. I know... is a weird way to phrase it, but I know where I'm going, even though I don't have a fucking clue what's going on in the game. Like, there stuff happens, and I'm like, I don't know why that happened. I don't know why there's this girl here, and there's this other dude who seems like he wants to kill her, and then like they're helping each other, and then there's this other lady dressed in red who is like someone from her past who also wants to kill her, and then she's fighting angels. Like, I don't fucking know. I don't know what's happening in this game, but I'm fine with it. It's okay. But what I do know is that there are goals, and I know that I'm going to keep moving forward, and I'm always going to be moving in the right direction, and I don't have to think about, if I go over there, are the guys going to be a million levels higher than me? That's really the difference. So, Stealth Inc. 2 is another one that I just downloaded a few days ago, and we both have played it. So,
yes. I thought it was very, clever, entertaining.
One thing that I'm looking forward to is I don't think we're kind of in the first general area still. So there's like this hub world that you move throughout, and then like little, they call them test chambers, the little doors that you enter, and they're kind of rapid fire challenges. You're timed and it judges you by how many deaths you get, and you get a letter score at the end. But generally, if you really know what you're doing, you're able to get through them in like 45 seconds or a minute.
Yeah.
And I think we were getting through them like on our first try in like 2 minutes.
Which, you know, it's fine.
You get these little 2 minute challenges, and there's of course stealth elements too, where you don't want to get spotted by enemies, and you kind of manipulate environments to keep yourself covered. And apparently, at a certain point in the game, you start to get these power-ups to allow you to manipulate environments in different ways. I've heard of like an ability to create a platform in order to like jump to certain like higher areas, things like that. So at a certain point, you know, I'm looking forward to getting these sort of power-ups to see how they expand the gameplay. But, you know, as it is, it's fine. It's got a funny little style to it. You're like moving through this clone factory and trying not to die, because...
See a little ninja, I always have to go back to iNinja.
Yeah, iNinja was good, wasn't it?
iNinja was so good.
And you know what also made iNinja so great, since we bring up this game all the time, is that they did a really great job of mixing up the types of things you do.
Yes.
So you have, like, your action sets where you are just beating up guys. And then you have, like, all these really cool platforming stuff where you're running on half pipes and using your chain to fling yourself around places and running on walls. And then you fucking box with a giant robot.
Yeah.
Like you do.
See, they did a really good job of mixing up what you're doing in the game. And even then, they bring back old elements.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Oh, this is another time mission. Okay. You're perfectly fine with doing another time mission. It's the same thing you did before, but let's do this.
Or you know, roll on the giant ball, monkey ball style.
Yeah,
at a certain point, those became a little annoying if you were going for like your best grades and you're trying to collect
doing that
all
kind
the
of
grades.
Crap, yeah.
But you know, they were few enough between to where it wasn't like you entered a new area and it's like, for fuck's sake, I'm going to have to do another eyeball challenge on this level too if I want to get the best grades.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Those eyeballs were pretty annoying.
What a great game.
It was so good.
It must have sold terribly.
And the one level that is probably the most frustrating in the entire game, and I'm sure you're going to agree with me here, is going to be near the end on, what was his name, Mordecai's area. The weird thin dude. You know which one I'm talking about?
See, no, he wasn't the dead guy. He wasn't Sensei. Which one was Mordecai? I don't remember, but go on.
Whatever. It was one of those weird challenge ones, and you had to do the boxing robot without taking a hit.
Yep, the eggshell.
The eggshell robot box.
Ah, that one was, yeah,
that was
awful.
The bane of my existence, that guy. Oh my god.
But we did it.
We did it. We did it.
So, Stealthing 2, pretty cool so far. We'll see how it grows and expands.
John's sick humor comes out every single time the little guy dies. He just lets go of that little tiny laugh.
I mean, he dies and like there, and there's like splatters and stuff when he gets crushed by things. It's kind of funny. So, and then one more game in this sort of non rapid fire section. I downloaded Lucadian Chronicles, which is a free game on the Wii U.
There you go.
There is like a paid version with like an expanded campaign or something like that. This one is a card battle game, kind of similar to Magic the Gathering or Yu-Gi-Oh. The weird thing about this, though, is that it's real simple. There's no, like, as I've yet encountered, like, mana cards, I think they call them in Magic the Gathering. There's no, like, trap or magic cards in they have in Yu-Gi-Oh. It's just basically your monsters, your creatures, your warriors. And what you do is... It's mission-based, and like you have a mission to where you have to kill these three guys, and the three guys are represented by cards. And you see what they are and how they're going to be laid out, and then you're able to pick up to five of your own and put them on the playing field. And you can put them in different positions. You like can have them be like a back row character. You can have them be a front row character. They have different abilities to where... if they're in a certain position, they can do extra damage in certain ways, in certain situations. And they all, of course, have like their attack, their defense, their HP. And then also as you deal damage and take damage, like basically the longer they survive on the field, you build up a special meter and then they're able to unleash a sort of special attack. So The weird thing is, once you initiate the battle, everything's automated. So basically, the only thing you're really doing is picking the cards you want to put in battle and then positioning them. Everything else plays out without you having any control over it. Hmm. So it's a little weird to do that in a card-based game. I worked through like the first chapter of the campaign, which was like, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 missions. And I don't know how eager I am to get back to it. But yeah, I suppose I prefer these sort of card games where you're actually able to strategize a little bit more in battle. There is a certain element of strategy to it because of the way you're positioning your cards.
Do you remember that card game you were making, John?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I might still have those. But yeah, I actually kind of like that sort of deck construction nature to card games, to where how you're putting things together creates like an overarching strategy to how you're playing the game rather than just trying to put your strongest things out there.
Yeah.
Which you can't do in this game, which is unfortunate. Anyway, let's take one more break and then come back with my last two games. Oh, you got anything else? Got any Dragon Age? Playing Dragon Age?
What? What the hell's to the nose?
I thought you had Dragon Age.
No.
No?
Oh. Yeah.
Dragon Age Origins?
Origins, yeah.
How's that going?
Dragon Age. I got mixed up. I thought you were talking about that other game.
Dragon Quest?
Dragon Quest. How do I use a Dragon Age? Dragon Quest popped in my head. I go, hell's so no. Like,
fucking RPGs, what?
Oh my god, no to that crap.
Japanese RPGs? What are those?
Nah, I haven't played any more Dragon Age for a while.
Okay.
I want to get back to it because I want to eventually get to Inquisition because it does look really good. But I don't know, it's...
Generally speaking, what's the difference between that and Dark Souls?
What, Dragon Age?
Yeah.
It's...
Take your time.
They're very, very different. I'm just trying to think of a way to explain the differences, because okay. They are extremely different.
Okay.
Like Dragon Age, you have a party. It's like an RPG, except it's not... It's like, you know, like Final Fantasy, except it's not turn-taking. You're not going to random battle sequences. So you shit just runs up to you, and you're like, oh, God.
So you don't have direct control of your party members. You just kind of...
Not your side party members, no. You can switch to them and control them individually. Oh, okay. But they're doing their own shit in the meantime as well.
So kind of like Xenoblade.
Yes. And you can set up which abilities they primarily use. You can go into your menu and set up, like... If this character drops below 50% health, use this ability. You can set those sort of things up for them for when you're not controlling them. But most of the time, I just control my main character.
Right.
But it's kind of like a more free roaming RPG like that. Because you're still using various abilities and mana and things like that. But it's not turn taking. You're just attack. But if you want to attack a guy, like in between using your abilities... they just auto attack. So okay. They have their own regular like Xenoblade. Attacks. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. Like Xenoblade. It's more like Xenoblade. Yes.
Okay. Oh, that's good. That's a good thing, though.
It is. Except Xenoblade
is awesome.
It is a lot more awesome. You felt more faster in the combat. It's tough to explain. It feels a lot different.
Things ran more fluidly.
Yeah, I would say that. Of course, this is just Origins. I don't know how different it is in the other games.
Well, it doesn't matter. We're talking about Origins.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what else was really great about Xenoblade? Was that the story was real simple. And what they did was they basically made the world you were living in the main focus of the story. Not like, hey, that guy killed our friend. Let's go fucking get him. It was, you're moving throughout this world and you're learning more about it and the world is expanding. The story, in terms of the goals of the characters, never really fucking change. It's just always like, let's go get that fucking asshole. But as you progress through the world, you learn more about it. Shit gets fucking crazy. You learn, like, about the origins of the world and all the people in it.
Don't tell me because I still haven't been Xenoblade.
Oh my god, it's so nuts. How far did you get? I think we've talked about this.
I've gotten pretty far, but because it's so big...
It's
such a big game.
You might be able to get through it in 80 hours.
I might be able to, maybe 80 hours.
I mean, I spent 140, as we've talked about. But that's because I did everything.
Oh, my
Except Max out Affinity with Ricky, because who cares?
Yeah, so who cares about that guy?
Yeah.
Who actually uses that guy in your
fight? I have yet to discover his primary function in battles. I don't know how you're supposed to use
it. You know what? When I play Xenoblade again, I will primarily use Ricky.
No, don't do that. No, you're gonna use Shulk. You're gonna use Dunban. You're gonna use Sharla. There you go.
There's your party. Until which you makes get... me sad because I want to use the other chip. What's her name? The one who dies and comes back.
Fiora. Well, once you get to a certain point in the game where you don't really need your white mage anymore, then yes, you're using Fiora.
Yeah.
Because the three of them, Dunban, Shulk, Fiora, they all work very well together in terms of being able to break and then topple enemies.
Yes.
Yeah. They're real good. It's a real good party. Good choice.
Side thing.
Yes.
Dark Souls.
Yes.
If you want to know the story, you read the shit you pick up, like on your items and
oh, like in Metroid armor. Prime.
Yeah, exactly. You want to know the story, then put forth the effort. If you don't, just go fucking kill shit.
Well, good for them.
That's the nice thing. It is wonderful. They give you one cinematic in the beginning and one even shorter cinematic at the end. That's all you get.
Good for them. Well done. So let's take one more break and then come back with a couple more games.
All right, John, why can't I teach Dive to Pelipper?
Because Pelipper is useless.
God.
Well, let's wrap things up here with a couple more games.
Can I teach it to Lanoon?
Lanoon can use Surf, so maybe. Anyway,
let's go get that Lanoon out. Sorry, you know me. I'm the king of tangents.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. We're gonna talk about Pokemon in the next show.
Yeah,
sorry. Okay. It's just a nice preface to
there
that.
There you go. There you go, guys. So get prepared for that.
So like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I bought Persona Q, which is...
Why?
It's a crossover of the Etrian Odyssey games on the DS and Persona. At the beginning of the game, you pick characters from either Persona 3 or Persona 4, and that's your party throughout the game. And it takes the dungeon mapping of Etrian Odyssey and mixes it with sort of Shin Megami Tensei style battles. I describe it like that because I've never played a Persona game. I have sitting right up here a copy of Persona 3, which I bought several months ago, but haven't played it yet. I thought it was a good deal at the time. Like I had my eyes on copies of Persona and Persona 3, and they were generally going for like $40, I think, on Amazon, and then one popped up for $20. So I was like, oh, I better buy that. And now I haven't played it. But then also, as I continue to bury myself here, I also have copies of Final Fantasy Tactics, Star Ocean, Front Mission 3, Mega Man X4, Wild Arms 2.
Does your PS1 even work anymore?
I just use the PS2.
Does your PS2 even work anymore?
Yeah, it sure does.
Oh, good for you.
I take care of my shit.
I take care of my shit too, but mine's like angry. I don't know why. It just... doesn't do shit.
I mean, to be fair, your PS2 probably got a lot more use than mine.
Yeah, it got a lot more use than yours.
I have like 5 PS2 games.
Yeah.
But my GameCube still works.
And one of them is Twisted Metal Black.
Which I got for like $7.
Even then,
I probably
paid too much.
Well, I got some decent use of that game. Actually, James ended up really liking that game for some reason.
James likes really weird games.
Yeah, he fucking likes League of Legends. What kind of person plays that?
Okay, that's not cool. But James does nothing but play against computers, and he does really weird things.
Really?
Yeah.
Why does he play against computers? Well, I that's not really fair. I probably play against computers, too.
People are dicks on that game.
Well, anyway. So, Persona is kind of an offshoot of the Shin Megami Tensei series. I think, in fact, on the PS1, I think the first game was called Shin Megami Tensei Persona, is how it was officially titled. But... that is a series that I also haven't gotten a whole lot of exposure to, but I gushed a lot about Shin Megami Tensei 4, which was on the 3DS a couple years ago. That was a really cool game. So, a lot like Shin Megami Tensei, the battles are first-person, and they're turn-taking, and they're random. So, as you're moving throughout this dungeon, enemies will just kind of pop up, and you will see them. You won't see any of your characters, though. And each of your characters has different attack types, like cut and bash, and there's one more, maybe it's stab. Yeah, cut, bash, and stab. And then they also have different elemental magic, ice, fire, lightning, wind, and then light and dark. And what you do, a lot like in Shin Megami Tensei, is you experiment, learn enemies' weaknesses, and then exploit those weaknesses to gain advantages during battle. In Shin Megami Tensei 4, it actually allowed you to stack moves if you were using enemy weaknesses, and also gave you some more evasion capabilities. In Persona Q, it doesn't stack moves, but what it'll do is if you use basically a super effective move on an enemy, it will reduce your MP cost for any spell the next turn to zero, as long as you don't get hit before you're able to cast it. So, characters have like their own magical attributes, like what types of spells they can cast based on their equipped personas, they call them, basically like their equipped demons or guardian forces, if you want to take it to Final Fantasy VIII.
There you go.
So they kind of have their own default ones, which I don't know if you can change throughout the game. I think that just might be the way they are. But then you can also have like a secondary, a sub-demon, which will allow you to learn different skills. So, for example, your main character, who I, of course, named John, uses fire magic. And then I equipped him with a sub-demon, a secondary demon, which allowed him to also use ice magic. So the more that you can expand the type of abilities you can use, the bigger advantage you have in battle. So then you can just have everyone using super effective moves in your party. You get a party of five, and I was expecting you to scream like in Family Guy.
Oh my God.
Anyway, remember Party
of
Five?
Oh God.
Anyway.
Oh, that was for my... Oh, I didn't get that reference. Damn it.
So, one of the really cool things is that if a lot of people stack super effective moves, you can then like use a group attack, and basically like you just tap a button to toggle this group attack, and everyone just kind of rushes in a little like cutscene thing at the enemy, and like there's a big cloud of dust, they're all slashing their swords. It's pretty cool. There's no huge reason that I've run into so far to change up your party, even though you have the ability to, because if you can just have everyone use different types of magic, then there's no reason to switch out for people who do know different types of magic. I think there's
Final
like
Fantasy VII,
exactly,
situation.
Exactly. You just kind of use your favorite characters. So the five that I started with, I picked them. There's the main character. There's like this boxer dude, a kind of samurai-ish kind of girl. A girl uses a sword. An android girl, and then a basically a healer girl, like a white mage girl who also uses a bow, an archer. And I picked the three of them because they have a good diversity of like the physical attack types, the cut, stab, and bash type weapons. And then they also had a good diversity of the types of magic they could use, so then I can just equip them with secondary stuff to fill in any gaps that I have. So, and you know, so far, like in Etrian Odyssey, there's like those huge skill trees, and you can have two characters of the same like archer class but equip them with entirely different skills, so they end up being really different characters. So far in this game, I have not encountered such a skill tree. It seems that everyone is just kind of locked with the abilities they have, and the only way you interchange them is by equipping those different personas. Some of the other things that are intact from Etrian Odyssey, as I kind of sift through my notes here, is that you do have the map making, So as you move throughout the level, you're drawing on your touch screen to make maps. You do have a really cool kind of reward for exploring. Like, there's certain treasure chests on every floor of these dungeons that when you complete 100% of your exploration, and it has a meter that'll tell you when you have, you're able to unlock these treasure chests. So there's a, it really does feel like the combat more of a Shin Megami Tensei game, because in the Etrian and Odyssey games, the combat was really kind of a minor focus of the game, and it felt a lot more grind-heavy, too, in order to build up the different type of skills that you have. This in Persona Q, it feels like there's a lot more strategy to the battles and the types of attacks you're using. Really, the major thing that I think it's drawing influence from Etrian Odyssey is the way you're progressing through these dungeons, these labyrinths. You work your way to through a floor to the staircase. You go down a floor, you work your way through the next floor, so on and so forth. And there's different things on the map that are also from Etrian Odyssey, like shortcuts and warp points that'll send you from one side of a map to another or through a wall or something. And then there's like those roaming enemies that are super powerful, that it actually feels like in this game they're a bit more powerful than they have been in some other Etrian Odyssey games. I'm thinking specifically of the first one. I had grinded up about 7 or 8 levels and then decided to take one on and was still doing really minimal damage to it. So I'm not exactly sure how to go about killing those things, but one is standing in my way of 100% completing a floor and getting the treasure at the end, but I'll find a way to kill him. So yeah, this is pretty cool so far. I'm looking forward to putting more time into it. It's $50, which is it's a really expensive 3DS game.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
I think, if memory serves, I think Shin Megami Tensei 4 was also $50, which, I mean, I don't regret paying that. It was a really fucking good game. And I didn't pay for this one either. I got it with a gift card. So,
well, there you go. Yeah,
it's not my problem.
Worked out.
Yep. But yeah, just it's really good. It seems to have a lot of depth to it. I've put like 5 hours into it so far. I've had it for a couple days. So there's a lot to it. I think I've only reached like the third floor. So you can get a lot of bang for your buck with this one if you're putting a lot into it. So if it sounds like it's for you, then I wouldn't hesitate to buy it. I mean, it's $10 more than a regular 3DS game. It's not a huge deal.
Yeah.
Anyway. And then the last one that I have on tap is one that I actually downloaded today with the last bit of my Digital Deluxe promotion points, because that promotion ends tomorrow, New Year's Day. So get those points in while you can. And this one, do you remember Witch and Hero? We talked about that one a while back.
And it was, yeah.
This one reminds me a lot of that. And the sort of like art style and combat, and
I had such high hopes for Witch and Hero.
I mean, it definitely turned out to be something other than what they showed in the trailer.
Yeah,
that's for sure. I don't think it was terrible. Like I played through it to the end and thought it was fun enough, but it was really different from what I thought it was.
This game was fun enough that I wasn't angry at it.
Right, I wasn't mad at the end. It was kind of the opposite effect of Mass Effect 3, where I was like, oh, this is so good, I'm really enjoying this, and then you hate it. Like, I get to the end, I was like, yeah, I didn't hate that.
Play Mass Effect 3?
No, of course not. That's just the general scuttlebutt. You shoot people in that game. Of course I didn't fucking
play. I was about to say, that does not sound like John.
Anyway, so this game, they also kind of advertised it as this 8-bit RPG, because it looks like an 8-bit RPG, just like Witch and Hero did. You have this overhead view and you're moving throughout this world, but it's not really an RPG at all. So it has the same RPG elements as Witch and Hero does, which is when you kill enemies, you build your experience meter and then you level up and gain more attack power and HP. The combat has nothing to do with RPGs. It's like Witch and Hero, where you just bump into enemies and you damage them and also take damage yourself. So, in Witch and Hero, when you did that, you, of course, died and then came back to life a few seconds later. You just pay that penalty of dying for a few minutes and you come back. In Fair Yun, you die and then have to start over from a respawn point, so you have to do some backtracking. But there are certain areas where you can restore your health. So as you're moving throughout the world, you're bumping into enemies to kill them, and when you do, they all die in one hit. But when you kill them, you gain basically one experience and lose one HP. And then you either have to work your way to a restore point or let yourself die or try to avoid all enemies. But what'll happen is, once you level up, it will then reduce the damage you take from lower level enemies, but then also negate any experience you get from them. So if you go out and you kill a blue slime, you're killing it without taking any damage, but also not getting any experience from it. And they kind of use this to sort of guide your progression throughout the game, because you have like this item, this book, and when you open the book, it will tell you the next suggested enemy you should fight. So you kind of go to the area where those enemies are, and you know that you're supposed to do something in that area in order to progress in the game. And the progression of the game is really very much like adventure-based, kind of like a Zelda game, really, to where you're in this open overworld and you're just trying to explore it and find different things. And I think the overall objective of the game is to awaken these three spirits. But in order to awaken these three spirits, you have to find three statues. And it's all really procedural based, how you're moving throughout these levels. So you have to go to one area and find a sword, and then you have to go to another area and find a key that opens up a door in another area. And they do a really pretty good job of constructing this world that's really very small, but having it be complex. And one of the most interesting things about the world is that you're on this pretty small map that's a grid, and there's other maps that you can access. Like there's an underworld, and there's like a cave and a tower and different things you go into, and they all have their own maps. But like the main overworld map wraps around. So if you go to like the bottom right square and then move right, you'll end up at the bottom left square. So this all takes place on a very tiny planet. So I guess geographically speaking, it's kind of an oddity. So and you do like different sort of adventuring things to unlock the different areas. You push blocks, you place gems in places, all really simple stuff. But they use kind of the geography of the game to guide you to your next place. But then they also do some sort of obtuse things sometimes to hinder you and create a sort of artificial difficulty. Like there are certain trees that you can walk underneath because they don't have tree trunks. And I discovered that you could do this early in the game by accident. But then there was another point in the game where you had to do it, and I completely forgot that you could do it. And I didn't notice that those trees had trunks. So yeah, there's a few times when they kind of do that sort of stuff. And they don't always explain how you use certain tools that you get throughout the game. So there's a pickaxe, and there's a point where I use the pickaxe to dig something up in the ground. But then there's another point where I was in this cave where you can also use a pickaxe to smash rocks. Didn't fucking know you could use a pickaxe to smash rocks. So I'm wandering around like, all right, where the fuck do I go next?
Well, that's like the primary use of a pickaxe. Break rocks up.
But see, I had already done it to dig something up. So it's like, okay, I dig with a pickaxe, apparently. But they're like, nope, you also dig with a pickaxe. You also smash things with pickaxes. All right, fine. I also have a hatchet. I use a hatchet to chop down certain trees. Maybe I'm also going to use it to, I don't fucking know, murder bunnies.
Gibson Patriot style. And just throw like a tomahawk to somebody's face.
That's how you beat the final boss.
That'd be amazing. Yeah. That'd be amazing. Done. Sign me up.
Oh, also one of the weird things that it does is that you get a statue. You pick up a statue and carry it with you.
Do you beat people?
Apparently. You don't beat people with a statue. What it does is that there are certain puzzles where you have to press two switches. I encountered one. The first one I encountered, I was like, I went to it, and I saw there's two switches here. Guess what I got? A fucking statue. Let's try this. Put the statue down on one switch, stood on the other, got my little key or whatever it is that I got from that, and I moved on with my life. A little while later in the game, I encountered another puzzle where you had to step on two switches. And I was like, I don't have anything with me to step on these switches. What the fuck do I do? I had to fucking walk back and get my statue again from the place. Because I didn't know I could pick it back up. I was like, well, that thing is used. Let's move on with my life. And no, had to go back to the cave and get it and take my statue all the way back up. What was the statue of? Actually, it looked a lot like the main character girl.
Statue. She's walking around with a statue of herself.
Right. Are you saying that you wouldn't?
No.
Okay.
I totally would. In fact, I would tie that thing to my shoulder so it looks like I have a little friend.
And yourself. I would
have conversations with it. I totally would do that. Just done. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Yeah. So, it's
a fantastic today, by the way. Oh, I do too. Thank you.
So it's okay so far. There's a few frustrating things about it, but it's another game where I can forgive these shortcomings because it's a short game, and there's a lot of there's a sense of accomplishment to where I have put 2 hours into it and I'm nearing the end, and fucking Persona Q I've put 5 hours into and I am still at the beginning. So
I'm gonna get 15 hours in and be like, all right, you've completed the tutorial. What the hell?
I like Persona Q. It's a really cool game, and it's a fundamentally better game than Faerûn, but there's still like that really nice sense of accomplishment to, I have finished this. This is a game that I've beaten. Now I gotta go back to the one that's gonna take me 2 months to finish.
Yup.
So, you got any other games you wanna bring up before we close out here? League of Legends?
No, nothing really. I gotta talk to you about that.
Nothing to report there. Still playing World of Warcraft?
I haven't gone back to it in a really long time. Good. I would like to, but.
No, you would not.
The only reason why I don't is World of Warcraft was a game I played during the day. I very rarely played it at night because at night I'm sick of people. I just want to be to myself and I don't want to deal with other people.
It's weird that you're saying that about a video game.
Yeah. And
I play this video game because I'm with people. No,
there's games I played because I want to be left alone.
Right. Like Xenoblade.
Yeah, like Xenoblade. And Dark Souls, when you turn off online mode.
Skyrim.
Just doing it offline.
Yeah.
Fuck invasions, because people suck.
Still playing Skyrim?
Then I'll go back and do a little something with Skyrim, because it's wonderful.
But Warcraft,
I play during the day, or with Jeff and them, but I can't play during the day, because my dad ties up the internet with his business. Mm. So I can't use something like World of Warcraft, because that sucks.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Doesn't have the bandwidth to accommodate.
Well, his stuff, I mean, it's... video and communication stuff. His stuff is very taxing.
Mm.
So that's the issue. So I was like, I just haven't gone back to World of Warcraft.
I mean, what you could do is you could also just buy like a wireless card. One of those subscription ones that can pay.
Yeah, but all of those have a certain data allowance. Use like 5 gigs, and I burned through that real quick.
I mean, then you could pay monthly to use the game, and then also pay monthly to have
so
the
I
internet.
Can have access to use the game. Yeah,
you'd be
totally.
Like paying for a full game every month.
Yeah, it'd be wonderful
to play this one.
Yeah, put a bullet in my brain.
I didn't tell you what games to play.
I still like Warcraft. Screw you.
I actually do have a question about Skyrim, though.
All right, what's your question about Skyrim?
Have you finished it?
There's no finishing Skyrim. It's just too big of a game. I mean, the only way to finish Skyrim is to complete every single quest.
But there is an end to it.
There's an end to the main quest line.
So when you finish the main quest line, when you say you're starting over as a new character, do you start from like the beginning of the game as a new character, or you just kind of drop that character into your current game?
No, you start the new game as a new character.
Are you able to carry over any of your stuff from...
No.
What if you were to complete the game? Could you start a new game plus?
No, because there is no completing the game like that. You just get to a point.
There has to be a fucking end to the game. What are you talking about?
I mean, the end of the game... there's no point in the game where I think after you beat the main quest line...
Beat
credits.
The main credits, yeah.
Meet the main quest line, you'll get credits. I don't know, I can't really remember.
Meet the main credits?
So. I don't think so. Meet the bonk one. No, Skyrim's a game. It just keeps going. That's kind of thing.
Keep going. It's like that
just
game.
Just hit a certain point, and we're like, all right. I mean,
have you seen the game? No Man's.
Did everything important.
Have you seen that game, No Man's Sky?
No.
Anyway, it's I think it's like a PS4 360 game, where, sorry, not PS4, PS4 Xbox One, a console named even worse than the Wii U.
God, that's such a bad name.
Anyway,
Xbox One, it's so bad.
The Jigglypuff, that's what we should call
it. The Jiggly One.
Anyway, it's and it's a game I can't even aptly describe it here. It's like a space exploration game where there's tons of different planets you can go down into and explore. I don't really know what you're actually doing in as far as gameplay, if you're just kind of like going down on planets and walking around, or if there's some sort of combat or adventure style to it. I have no idea. What I do know is that they have said it would take like millions of hours to complete it and explore everything. Like, why? Why are you doing that? Like, if you're going to make a game that takes 200 hours to complete, fine. I'm down. I can play that. Like,
well, millions of hours.
I think I draw the line to the thousand. Like, it's going to take you 1,000 hours to complete this game. Why are you fucking making it then? Like, why would I buy this game and then ever buy anything else again? Like, that would be absurd.
That would be a little ridiculous.
Anyway. And, of course, I don't know what you're doing in that game, and I don't own those consoles, so I'm not going to buy it anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway. That just kind of reminded me of that when you were talking about Skyrim and how it takes forever to beat Skyrim. There has to be an end to it. Anyway.
The end of it is when you get done with the like the main stuff. Like, okay. There's
but then
the
there's no
quest
new game.
Line, then there's the Thief's Guild quest line, and then there's the Dark Brotherhood quest line, the Mage quest line.
But then there's no new game plus.
There's no new game plus.
I was asking that because when you say you're replaying Skyrim, it reminds
you
of...
You make a new character and you go again.
Like, I very
which
often...
Which for me is always... I make a Khajiit, and I get really good with bows, and I sneak around and stab stuff in the back. That's my new game.
Yeah,
it's another stealth character, because it's the most fun in the world to do.
So, why start over a new game rather than start doing like all of like the side stuff as that character then?
Because I've already done all the side stuff. I want to do it again.
But you haven't completed.
Because now and then I'll try to do different things. Like one time I tried to do a stealth mage, which is really fucking hard to do.
Yeah, people do tend to notice when you use magic.
Yeah, well, there's a part of one of the ability trees is you literally cast magic without making a sound.
Mm.
So you literally can sneak around and blow shit up, and nobody knows you're there.
Does it take a while to get to it on the tree?
Yeah, and it's like a completely fucking useless tree. I think it's part of... Oh, I forget what it's called.
So you have to work your way through a lot of garbage to get to the one you want.
Yeah, through a lot of garbage to get what you want.
Gotcha. Anyway, I brought that up because when you say you were playing Skyrim, it always reminds me that
I did download a DLC for Skyrim.
Oh, good.
And I haven't played any of it yet.
Oh, well, there
you go. It's been months since I downloaded it. I made a new game. I was like, all right, I'm going to get this far in this game, and then I'm going to go do this DLC. And I got that far in the game, and I was like, ooh, Dragon Age. And I haven't gone back.
Like I like to replay games when the next time you go through it, you can just be like super overpowered and breeze your way through like all the hard parts.
You
like,
can't do that. Like Dark Souls, there is you beat the game, new game plus, and when you go back in the game, the beginning of it is stupid easy, but everything in the game is harder. They make them they have more HP and they do more damage and blah 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 blah. And I did go back in the middle of playing Dark Souls 2. I was talking to my friend about Dark Souls 1, the first one, and I go, huh, I want to do this again. And I went back and I just played Dark Souls 1 one night, just for a couple of hours, and I felt like a god. Because in Dark Souls, there's a mechanic called dodging, where you just roll.
Uh-huh.
And in Dark Souls 2, they're like little rolls, and just like a normal fucking roll. You're just the dodge shit.
You
but
just
in
do
Dark
barrel.
Souls
yeah.
1, you like leap and roll. So you, like, clear huge distances, so nothing could fucking touch me in Dark Souls 1. I felt like a god.
I like replaying Resident Evil 4.
It is a really good game to replay.
Because, yeah, you just take all your ammo and stuff with you. You pick different guns, maybe, and you just
burn through.
Remember
that, did you do
it.
A gun around when you did nothing but Magnum?
I did pistols only.
Pistols
where
only.
Or I had a handgun and a Magnum.
Yep.
And, yeah, it was fine. Nice and easy. And I think... I did that once, and then I did another time where I allowed myself to use grenades as well. But, I mean, it didn't really make a huge difference.
No.
Either way.
No.
But, yeah. And
what would you say is your favorite gun in Resident Evil 4?
Resident Evil 4, my favorite gun. I like the Killer 7. That's probably my favorite Magnum, even though I think the Broken Butterfly is the more powerful one. But the gun... I really like the standard handgun. That might be my favorite gun. Like, if I'm going to start a new round, I always have to just take the standard issue handgun.
Because our heads explode.
Yeah, because of the exclusive. The 5x decapitation rate. That's...
Yep.
It becomes...
Stupid
yeah.
handy.
Yep. But then, yeah, there's so much like great stuff in that game. Fucking, like, the mine thrower.
That's just fun.
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, no, like... tactical advantage you're getting from using a monitor.
No, it probably like hinders you more than it's useful.
Yes. It's just fun.
And then of course, like in the
It's exclusive, like the darts like fucking homed. So if you missed it, like still hit.
Yeah, I think so.
Like something ridiculous like that.
But then like the Wii U version, there was the Chicago Typewriter, which was this really overpowered automatic machine gun.
That had an infinite ammo.
Yep. Yeah, and I ran through the game with only that. Easy. Just no.
Just the easiest thing in the world.
Yeah, that probably was the easiest
run through. Infinite Rocket. Same on that one. Infinite Rocket Launcher.
Anyway.
I did that Infinite Typewriter. I did the Typewriter and the Infinite Rocket Launcher run, which was just plain nonsense.
Yeah. I still want to...
Ashley missions were still really, really annoying.
Oh, yeah. God, she's a pain in the ass. I still really want to go back and finish my second run of Xenoblade. I don't know if I'm going to have time to do it because there's all these other games that I'm playing. But that was another one where I was just crazy overpowered because none of them level up.
I think I'm going to go back to Xenoblade when I get done with the Dark Souls. I think I've been wanting to go back to Xenoblade, but I keep on getting distracted by other shit.
I think
Shadow of Mordor.
Oh yeah, you picked that one up?
Yeah. Have you played it? I talked to you about Shadow of Mordor.
I think you might have.
It's a mix between Assassin's Creed. It's a mix of Assassin's Creed and Batman in the sense of mechanics, where you can sneak around really efficiently. Like, it's not that difficult to be all stealthy, but it has the Batman mechanics where you just kind of like hit square and you just punch whoever's close to you without having to aim, and then somebody's about to hit you, like a big triangle button picks up and you just press that to counter. So I mean, you can go through whole fights without getting hit just because you can counter everything.
Nice.
But it's really good because you unlock by, they have this weird hierarchy of what are the things called? The not trolls, they're fucking...
The little goblin dudes.
Goblin dudes. Whatever. I forget what they're actually called.
The monsters.
Yeah, the main guys you're hunting. There's like a hierarchy of like captains and everything like that. And you can go and find just a regular dude and interrogate him for information on them. And it'll show you their strengths and their weaknesses so you can make strategies about how to take them out. Like one guy may be afraid of this weird dog thing. So you go and find one of them, take over its mind, and then attack him with that thing. He's like flipping his shit as he's trying to run, as you maul him to death. Like, good stuff. But it's really interesting. It's but the issue is, I got it for the PS3.
Uh-huh.
And it's clearly a PS4 game. Because now kind of chug and then, it just kind of has some issues. It's just like, you just can't handle this game now and then. But it does look really nice. It just gets kind of tedious, because at times there's just so much to do. Like, you can go do side missions, you can go take out more of these captains and unlock other rune things to equip on your weapons to make them better. You can do these other things to get more money to increase your certain stats and whatever. And there's just a lot of side stuff to do. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. The only reason why I haven't put a ton of hours into it is because it gets sluggish and clunky at times, because it's a PS4 game on PS3.
Yeah, clearly they didn't spend enough time optimizing.
Yeah, it wasn't that app. Yeah.
It's the year of releasing broken games.
It really is.
I mean,
it takes me back to my days of playing Assassin's Creed 3 and that crappy, glitchy, buggy game.
So like playing Assassin's Creed Unity, man.
I haven't played Unity.
It's glitchy and buggy. It's kind of,
you know.
I mean, and like playing Halo Master Chief Collection, where the online doesn't work in a Halo game. And I mentioned this on a previous show. We are living in a time where Super Smash Bros. Runs in 1080p at 60 frames per second, and the online works nearly perfectly. And there's a Halo game out where the online doesn't work at all.
Yep.
This is, it's fucking
about
nuts.
Time.
It's about fucking time. Nuts.
Screw Halo anyways. A friend of mine, my coworker went to GameStop because I was telling him about Dark Souls. He's like, "Oh, I may want to try it." I was like, "It's probably cheap." And he goes to take a look at it, and he comes back with a fucking Halo 5. I'm like, "Dude, what the hell?" Because he has an Xbox One. Mm. And he like shows it to me. I'm like, "No, no, no! You keep that shit away from me before you contaminate me or give me some kind of like bad disease or something."
Anyway, so usually on the official show we preview the next month, the one release that is, I guess, kind of definite, even though this game has gotten delayed a couple times now. In January, Citizens of Earth. We've talked about this one before. Let's move on. And then also sometimes we do a GBA corner on the GBA in December of 2001. There were two Super Nintendo ports. Breath of Fire, which is actually a game we'll be talking about on the Super Nintendo show in 2015. So I'm going to skip over that. And Phalanx, which is a shoot 'em up, space shooter kind of game.
Phalanx.
Yeah, it's the one with the old man and the beard and the banjo. Yeah. We've talked about that one already too.
Yeah, good stuff.
So again, let's move on. And actually, the old man and the beard.
I love.
And it's a game where you fly around in a fucking spaceship.
I love it. They did that.
Such a great box art.
So good. I just want to own that box art. That's all I want. Just keep it on my shelf. That's all I fucking want.
But yeah, those are two Super Nintendo games. That one we've talked about, and the other we will be talking about. And actually, something that I want to try to do on the Super Nintendo show is I want to play a sort of game where on the show. I haven't come up with a name for the game yet, but it will be something to the extent of, is it a Super Nintendo game or is it a Dorito? And I will give you a name of either a flavor of Dorito or, I don't know, something like Mountain Dew, something. Something where they have stupid names. And you will tell me, is it a chip or is it a Super Nintendo game? And I think that might be a lot of fun.
I am on board for this. I am on board.
But yeah, and the GBA corner will be back in January as well. There weren't any big releases for the GBA in January, but I'm going to revisit some of the blind spots from this past year and talk about Choo Choo Rocket and Klonoa Empire of Dreams. So I'll look forward to those as well. But next up is the Pokemon show.
Yeah, good stuff. What are we going to talk about?
Well, me and Ryan already recorded a Nuzlocke segment, but what we're thinking about getting together and just like doing another 20 or 30 minutes on Ruby Sapphire. Just if you have anything else that you want to say about it, because I mean I've beaten Elite Four, he's beaten Elite Four, you're getting pretty close.
I'm getting close.
You're just about there.
I got one more gym and then I got Elite Four, but my guys are only around 40. I have one guy at 50 and the others are around 47.
You'll be fine, you got that experience share.
Yeah,
so that'll be okay.
I have Bennett as my other sixth member. And he's okay, but he's just not that great. So if I find something better, I like to swap him out.
All right. Oh, have one of the things that's really useful if you just want to gain a couple of quick levels is, have you used like the trainer's eyes thing on the map?
No.
On your map, you can look on it and like filter out like just trainers who are ready for battle, and then it will show you like. The different routes that you can go to where their trainer's ready, and it'll tell you which trainers want to rebattle, and they'll be like up at level 50.
Oh, sweet.
So yeah, it's a really easy way to gain some experience, which is a really nice improvement in that game, because when I had to grind in Arnold's Luck, I just had to fight Gabby and Ty over and over again. It was a pain in the ass.
That's the other good thing about this game is now you don't have to fly to cities, you can actually fly to their routes directly.
Yeah. Yeah,
so that's even easier.
Yeah, that's a really nice addition as well. They did some things that really improve the way you move throughout the world, but then they also just kept some things that are fucking dumb.
Yeah.
Like all the HMs.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but I find almost every route and town that you go to is really fucking boring. There's not shit going on in this game. And it's so backloaded too. Like all of like the stuff versus Team Magma or Team Aqua, it all happens at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I still put like 40 hours into the game, so
I still like it. I don't know why.
I wasn't pissed off at the end, which was
Well, I wasn't mad that I bought those at the end, so you know.
Yeah.
It didn't make me angry enough to regret it, so.
So on that note, let's close out this show.
Alright, that sounds fair enough.
Till next time, everybody.
So long.